I cannot believe this. This is unbelievable. He is laying right in the middle of the trail. Look at this. Right in the middle of the trail, getting ready to strike. Unbelievable. I cannot believe this. If I would not have seen this guy. So it is 1:23 on April 30th, 2021. Today has been the first very difficult morning I've had in 2 weeks. Actually, just over 2 weeks since my sweet Lisa and I first had our very first Skype call. Today is the first day. It has been nothing but bliss and happiness and just off the charts, incredible happiness. Yesterday was probably the most wonderful day I've had in my heart with Lisa, and I just felt I reached another gear that I've never even experienced before in my life. And now look at this. Here's a 219 right here. And I started to move forward on the process, and I immediately found myself, I'm only 4 hours asleep last night, but I found myself having to touch two of the nastiest things that you could possibly touch all at one time. Anytime I've ever had to deal with the past divorce papers on any matter, whether it was going back to court, tax records, whatever, there's always this very dark negativity. It settles in over my heart. I hate it. It's not been as bad this time, but it used to just be like this thick cloud. Just to even see the divorce papers was horrible. Just evil, because they represent such evil. So today I'm dealing with that, and I get some bad news from the Orange County Courthouse, where they've reached back out to me, and basically they have informed me that the final judgment was that I have to pay $1,200 every month all the way until the end that the twins turn 18 and leave. There is no declining payment as it was supposed to be. So this is another thing that they manipulated in the agreement that I never noticed until now. Michael commentary. And so the way this thing happened was, is that all the way back in 2012, when I won this miraculous, incredibly favorable decision by the general magistrate on February 16th of 2012 in the final divorce hearing, the other attorney, her attorney, my ex's attorney, was asked by the general magistrate to draw up his recommendations in the final proposed, you know, divorce decree. And so this opens up an opportunity for them, because I'm pro se, meaning I'm defending myself without an attorney, for them to add all kinds of damaging things in that agreement to make my ex-wife win and to make me a serious loser. Well, up until this point in time, even though they added all these things illegally into the agreement, you saw that miraculously they were taken out. And then, of course, they file, you know, a motion for clarification. And because I lose on a technicality, because I didn't have the whole 9.5 hour trial transcribed, I only presented a transcription of the judge's final recommendations, the whole thing. And my objection was thrown out on a technicality. So they were able to get all these false things thrown back into the agreement. But, you know, 10 years later, they've not been able to collect, and I've not been held responsible for any of those things. Exception now. So what's happened now is, the way child support is supposed to work is that for each child, in this instance, there's five, when each child turns 18 years old, the person who's obligated to pay child support monthly no longer has to pay. And so they take the total amount of child support that you pay, you divide that by, in this instance, five, and it would be reduced by 1/5 of the amount for each child that turns 18 years old. Well, what has happened here is they, without me being able to see it, flew in under the radar a child support that never has a reduction ever. So when child number one, Tyler, turned 18 years old, the child support monthly obligation remained exactly the same. Then when my second oldest, Chelsea, turns 18, the child support remains the exact same. Then when my son, Nathan, then when my twin daughters, Ashley and Kaylee, turn 18, only then does the child support stop. So this adds tens of thousands of extra dollars in obligation that, with anybody that has common sense, would understand this is not something you do. This is not something that is done, perhaps maybe in very rare instances, This was done to manipulate and to steal. And so here I'm discovering that the entire time that Tyler has been living with me, they are adding to my balance every single month a payment that is due for 2 years now in September. It'll be September. It'll be 2 years since he's been living with me. They're adding this balance for Tyler that's going to my debt. And so now that's what I'm discovering. And at this point, it's well over $4,000 that's added to that balance that I've been paying on since all the way back in 2013. So this is that frustrating thing where I've discovered, okay, this is a major obstacle. And I'm not going to give away any more of the story, but it gets even worse as we get farther in the story, the news about this. And yet the Lord still tells me, stay put, don't move. End of commentary. So basically, it looks like that I'm supposed to keep paying the same amount the entire way, all the way down. And this was done through manipulation by her evil attorney and her. And that's one of the things they got thrown in. So this morning I discover I've paid an additional $4,300 in child support for Tyler since he's been here with me. And they keep adding it to my bill. And I've been paying a lesser amount every month because of the lesser amount I was supposed to pay. And they're saying no. And so now I'm going to have to file. And I was getting ready. It says now you're going to have to file an amended agreement or whatever to try to amend the final judgment. And I just felt that sinking feeling in my stomach. I'm like, man, here I am doing everything I can to try to step into this promise. Tyler, what number is that right there in front of your face?
536.
Say it louder.
536.
This is the first number that I have seen that started this whole recording idea. This is the very first number. That is Mark 536. Do not be afraid, just believe. So I end up seeing a 919 on my computer while I'm looking at this, and I'm like, God, are you telling me you don't want me to reply to the court? I mean, I have to. Like, if I don't pay this balance, I can't get a passport. If I don't get a passport, I can't apply for a visa. And so, you know, what? I don't understand this. So we get in the car. I have to work out on the uncontested divorce papers with Persis, and that's not easy. The paperwork's not exactly easy, and then we have to go get them notarized. So we've gone and got the papers notarized. So I had to touch two divorces today. It's just ugly, 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 man. And then the whole money thing, it's just so evil what my ex-wife did to me. So I just literally just dropped on my knees. I started crying out. I got, God, 4 hours of sleep. Lord, I need your help. I need your help, Father. Please help me. You know, this is tough. And so today's the first tough day, and it's just ugly. And now I'm not ugly anymore. We finally get the paperwork done. We needed a second witness. We didn't have a second witness. We go there. The first words out of her mouth is, oh, well, I can be the second witness and he'll be the first witness. So the lady's able to notarize it and witness it for us, which was just such a blessing. Get the paperwork done. Going home to grab it now to mail it. And I was just feeling it, man. Just really feeling this thick cloud, discouragement. Like, God, oh, Lord, please, what are you telling me to do? And we get out. The first number I see, 919. So I think this is related to this court thing. And I don't understand it because I can't. I started going, well, what is there? Is there a passport that I can? I mean, is there a way I can fly to New Zealand without having to have a passport? Like, can I fly there one way without having a passport? I mean, I don't know. I doubt it, but I'm like, that would prevent me from having to pay that whole child support balance, and I could just continue to pay the monthly amount that's been ordered by the court. And so I can't figure this out. I don't know what the Lord's doing, but I've been praying for encouragement. So the next number I see, 536, do not be afraid, just believe. Then we go into the post office, come out from the post office, and say, Tyler, look at that. Two cars right beside each other, 922, 544. I said, son, stop. God is speaking to me right now. Look at this. He's encouraging me. This is 922. Go in peace. Your faith has delivered you. And 544, do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. You will not suffer disgrace. You will remember the reproach of your widowhood no more. So here it is. Two 536s and a 544. Do not be afraid. So I don't know what it means. It's not good news, but so be it. And man, I'll be so glad when that's over and I'm no longer having to be in bondage to that. But suddenly I started feeling a little better. I'm very tired. I can feel it in my nervous system. Everything's difficult for me, but I'm having much, much grace from God. Wouldn't you agree I'm doing pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, compared to how I normally would have done years ago, I would be really just really flustered and upset. And I'm going through something very stressful. And yet, God's giving me this grace. And I'm just so thankful. So everything in my life is definitely new still. This is another thing that's new, how I'm feeling about having to deal with, you know, such terrible injustice. And I know that the Lord is going to somehow or another help me in this. But I've reached out to the court, and I'm like, look, it shows that the court knows that he left at 18 and he's no longer under the legal jurisdiction of the court. Why should I continue to have to pay money for him when he's living with me? Yeah, it's just crazy. So nonetheless, I'm trusting the Lord to help me in this, and everything else is just going so well, especially on Lisa's end. You know, I keep looking at all the things that God has already done with her parents, with her, you know, couple of friends now that she's starting to tell, and now obviously the big one being. And so I'm just very, very happy about that, and I'm holding on to that to see that God is at work and he's doing this. And then, you know, yesterday with the 90 days we have to be gone. So basically I'm also feeling all this pressure. Michael commentary. So regarding this mention of 90 days, let me fill in the blanks on that in case I don't mention it in a future journal recording. So this is a very interesting piece of God's timing in this. So on the 29th of April, in obedience to God's command for me to pack up my belongings and prepare to leave the land headed to New Zealand, I decided to, in good faith, let my landlords know, who owns the land below the tiny house, that I was going to relinquish my first right of refusal to buy this property because they were in the process of getting ready to move to Tennessee and they're going to be selling all their farmland, including the 2 acres I'm on. And so they promised to give me first right of refusal. So as a courtesy to them, I wanted to let them know right away that I'm not going to be staying, which meant there's no opportunity for me to be potentially a buyer for their land. Well, the very next day she called me and she said, "Wow, Michael, what timing." She said, "We want to let you know we've actually been just talking to a developer and some people here and there that are very interested in the property. And indeed, we are selling it. And we were going to let you know that you had 90 days to remove the tiny house from the property." So here it is that God tells me to move. And then I tell my landlord that day, the next day, that I know this for sure that I'm to move. And then they contact me back the next day to say, "Hey, guess what? We were going to have to ask you to move off also." So at that time, 90 days was basically August 1st. They were giving me until August 1st to get the tiny house off. So that's a pretty interesting detail. You can see God's timing is incredible, but you haven't heard anything yet. End of commentary. That I have basically 90 days to get all of this done. I have to get all of my stuff sold, and I got to figure out, what do I do with the deck? What do I do with all the boxes around the house? Do they go with the house? Do I sell them separate? And just, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I got to start selling all of my possessions. Got to whittle it down to, which is not much, but, you know, just got to start whittling it down. Most of the stuff is going to go with the tiny house, so that's not that big of a deal. But anyhow, that's an update. It's been a really, really tough morning, but by the grace of God, I've recovered, and I'm not feeling nearly what I was this morning. I'm back to, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust there must be a miracle in this somewhere, that God's going to do some sort of a miracle. And man, I can't wait. There's part of me that wants to, you know, get a little bit of a break from having to be under faith. I will admit that I've lived by faith for so long and trusted God in so many different ways that I feel, because I'm tired right now, I feel this desire to not have to walk so much by faith right now. Like, I would almost like to catch a break and just go, "God, can you just do this for me?" Instead of me having to really, really face these circumstances that contradict, you know, this promise he's given me to walk into. It's almost like I was hoping things are going so well. Like, for example, everything that's happened in Lisa's heart with her parents, and now with, these are all such answers to prayer, and these things are happening effortlessly. You know, to quote Lisa, she says, it couldn't have gone any better, to speak about the conversation that she had with her family. So these kind of things, like our talks cannot go any better. Our relationship cannot go any better. So now I have these circumstances that are standing in the way, and I'm kind of hoping that they're all going to go like that. And maybe they will. But right now I can't see it. So I'm having to keep that strong faith in the face of circumstances that are contradicting. And I can see the Lord's not going to let me, you know, not live by faith. He's not going to just make it happen. He's going to have to have, I'm going to have faith. And really the most underlying, the most important thing in this whole recording is how tired I am. I am now, since the 13th of April, today is the 30th. So you're talking about, what is that, 17 days? Yeah, I guess it's 16 days that I've been without my normal good sleep. And last night was the worst. I only got 4 hours. I went to bed like at midnight and woke up at 4. And because Lisa is so sweet, and because we are so absolutely madly in love with each other, and because our schedules are so whacked, that any chance I get to talk to her, we take advantage of it. And so here I am texting and stuff like that with her last night till midnight. And then, of course, my body, 4 o'clock, ding, time to get up, Michael. And I'm like, no. But I am still going somehow. All right, here we go. It's now 3:50 p.m., still on April 30th, and I've tried to lay down and take a little nap. I'm so tired that I can't even sleep. I mean, I think I lasted for maybe 20, 30 minutes before my brain lit up and I started thinking again. And I started thinking about how I can put a sign in the yard with a URL like relentlessheart.com/tinyhouse. And I'm starting to think about like all this huge to-do list. There's so many things to do and 90 days to get it all up together and sell it. And then I'm listening to the Psalms and like Psalm 118. And there's just so many good Psalms. The things are just speaking out against me. The Lord is my help. I will not be put to shame. He helps me. He hears my cries. And I'm just, all of those typical Psalms are just kind of coming off the page, if you will, in the audio. I'm listening to them. And I just wanted to capture, in addition to these, the other numbers I captured coming out of the post office and all that when I got home, I feel like the Lord is really trying to encourage me. So basically, you know, right after the two cars, the 922, the 544 at the post office, I then saw the next truck, which had the 536, do not be afraid, just believe, Mark 536. Then I saw 144, my phone lit up, and that very well could be the Isaiah passage that I have in my phone from a long time ago, where it was what God would show me all the time regarding the divorce with my ex. You will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon, how the oppressor has come to an end, how his fury has ended. And, you know, actually it did. I mean, she still continued to try to puff smoke every once in a while, but she was never able to come to anything. And it's truly like God, I can look at this and say he was right. The fury ended. I've had all these years of peace. And now I think having to go back and touch the filth of that situation and finding out that once again, here's a terrible injustice that they did to me that I've never been aware of until just now, about the whole child support thing not dropping, you know, that they were able to sucker that in there. And so obviously I've been perturbed about it. I went to go, while we were at a stoplight, I just said, 951, Lord, you've told me 951, keep going in spite of opposition. I just said that out loud when Tyler and I were at a stoplight. I get home, I deposit a check, I'm looking at it, and after I put it on my bank, I look, and the number at the end of the check is 951. So I say, okay, Lord, you're confirming that. Keep going in spite of opposition. Then Timothy texts me, and my phone lights up at 2:33, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm trying to pay very, very close attention to see what the Lord is showing me. Joshua 2:33, you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. And it's like I'm realizing, God, I need to hear that right now, Lord, because I'm getting in again over my head with all these details and the challenges and passport and child support and visa. And God, you have to help me with this. So it looks like the Lord, and this is something very bizarre is going on, that the Lord would be telling me not to contact the court. I think that, you know, the two 919s following that make it pretty clear that he's maybe not wanting me to. And man, I just cannot understand that. But I don't understand a lot of things he asks me to do, so, or not do. So I'm trying to pay attention to that. And then I've been seeing 217. 217. And I'm like, there's so many 217s scriptures. And I'm just going through, and nothing's really, you know, speaking to what's going on. And I get to Esther 217, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Now, what's so incredible is that I had just listened this morning to the recording I made on the way to Texas. And in that recording, I'm talking several times about Esther 1:19, about let the call be put out that Queen Vashti is finished. She's out of here, and let the search be made to find somebody more noble than her to take her royal position. And now here it is, this 2:17, speaking of the king was attracted to Esther. My goodness gracious, how many times during a day do I mention about how attractive my wife is? I mean, clearly I've talked about how I have thousands of women in my inbox at any given time, and who am I attracted to? I mean, I'm looking at this, and she has won his favor and approval. My goodness. I mean, it's like, I'm not even sure why God is showing this to me. I would almost kind of say, well, yeah, Father, this is definitely some preaching to the choir here, but it's, I don't know if he's just showing me this is just confirmation of the 1:19. And, you know, so he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. I mean, this is incredible. And what are the chances of this? You know, and so I'm just going, my God, this is amazing. Three times I see 217 today, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to see, you know, what you're telling me. And, you know, the crown of my heart has been placed upon the head of Lisa. She has been crowned with, will you be my wife? And she said yes. And she's crowned with a promise from me. And she's crowned with my getting rid of everything. And she's crowned with my love. And she's crowned with my desire. And so she's been crowned in that way. I've never even really thought about this like that before. So I am really, I've just come out now to pray again. I feel like I just need to stay very close to Abba. I need his help. I don't know what he's doing. Right now, there's no progress on anything. There's no calls in the tiny house. I haven't put it up for sale in any place where people would call, other than it's been watched like 3,000 times in a day on the channel. My YouTube video gets virtually no views, hardly anymore at all. They've completely stopped, you know, promoting my YouTube channel just more and more and more. And let's see. And I've also thought about a list of all the things I have to sell. And so there's been just an extra amount of pressure today, but still I feel the grace. No real panic, no real sense of big anxiety. Just, oh God, I got to keep my eyes on you. So that's what I'm going to do now, is just go back into prayer. And I feel like the Lord is showing me, if I'm hearing him correctly, do not be afraid, just believe. You know, go in peace. Your faith has delivered you. 5:44, do not fear shame. Do not fear disgrace. You'll remember the approach of your widowhood no more. Joshua 2:33, it is the Lord who will fight for you. You know, so forth and so on. So it seems like, you know, God is really, I have to just keep remembering that he is going to do this. So now I'm back transitioning into that thing where there's a lot of things for me to do, but I have to be very careful to allow the Lord to do everything he wants to do. And for some reason, it seems like he's telling me to not move forward on contacting the court about this child support thing yet. And I don't understand why. So this is going to be really remarkable to find out, what is God doing? What does he know right now that I do not know about this situation? So I'm just going to go into prayer now and trust him. So it's 7.07 p.m. right now. Wow, 7.07:17. That's incredible. That's Matthew 7:7 and John 7:17 all together. Still April 30th, 2021. And this is absolutely flabbergastingly amazing. My wife is the most amazing thing ever that God has ever done for me. There is no even comparison between this woman and who P was. It's just unbelievable. So tonight, first of all, God is speaking to my wife and confirming things independent of one another. So tonight, in texting her just about maybe 45 minutes ago, she feels prompted to share with me 14:14, the scripture from Exodus, which says, "You need only stand, the Lord will fight for you." And I wrote her back and I said, "Why did you send that to me?" And she says, "Oh, in your recording, you talk about sitting down and how you're not doing any work." And she said, "That scripture came to mind and I had seen it earlier." And I thought to myself, oh my goodness gracious, she's going to be amazed. An hour earlier, the Lord showed me 2:33, Joshua 2:33, which was in regards to, "You've seen the Lord, how he's fought for you. You've seen all that he's done for you, and he will fight for you." And so in the recording I made a few hours ago, I said, "I see the 2:33. Believe the Lord wants me to keep going on the work, but for some reason he's not wanting me to do this, you know, it seems like the child support thing." So I kind of just decided I'm going to take the day off and just kind of relax and rest. And now here God is confirming this with my wife, showing her the 14:14 when I had just seen the 2:33. And I thought to myself, "God, I'd love to see a 14:14 confirmation, but you're not going to see that on a clock." And so I just thought, well, I probably won't see it. And here my wife texts it to me. She just feels so blessed. She's like, "Wow, God is already using me to help you as your wife." I mean, this is the most beautiful, amazing thing ever. There are so many things that are different that I could not see now. Who she is in Christ does not compare to what P had. I'm seeing something dramatically different. I mean, it's embarrassingly different. It is so incredible. We just continue to be absolutely amazed at all the similarities we have, the sharing of our hearts, and we find out, oh my goodness, that's exactly how I am. God has blessed us beyond what we could possibly imagine. Dear Sister Eddie in London said today, she said, "Michael, it's like God's given you guys a taste of heaven on earth." She said, "I really believe it." And I have that in my recordings, that this is literally like the closest thing to heaven on earth you could expect. It's incredible. So we are just so blessed. My wife is so blessed. I'm so blessed on her behalf. And we just continue to fall madly, deeply in love with each other more and more. And we are both really crying out, "God, please do this." She's crying out, I'm crying out, "God, give me my wife." She's crying out, "God, give me my husband." And she's really sore thinking about having to wait so long. You know, then we're going to have a 2-week quarantine time when I go over. And she's like, "And you haven't even left yet." So yeah, it's going to be tough. There's no doubt about it. But this is incredible. God is speaking to us independent of one another and confirming things to the praise of God Almighty. How exciting. It's so incredible. This is better than I could have ever thought, asked, or imagined. Thank you, Jesus Christ. So today is 9:43, still on May 2nd. This morning is the morning that I had my, you know, disappointments with. So I've been dealing with that, which was exacerbated by the fact I was tired. And then I go to the mountain and the Lord gives me these wonderful insights and messages about fear and how it can be an inhibitor to intimacy, et cetera, with him and with other people and all that. But it's just it's a little bit of a weak place to be dealing with this. And then I suddenly realize I get this email from a lady that I haven't talked to in probably 2 years, who showed up in my life at a time when I went through probably one of the worst dangerous things I ever went through with Persis, where she's telling me, "You need another wife." And this sister in California shows up. She's pretty, she's single, she's close to my age. And we start talking. And of course, I'm in this whole period of where I'm so completely rejected and all that stuff. And so naturally, Persis is telling me I need another wife. And here this lady comes. And so I start to have this conversation with her and I start having the feelings of liking her. And I think this goes on for a couple of weeks. I think this is like a 3 or 4 week thing that happens in 2019. And so suddenly I start having these like, oh, well, maybe this is the woman that God's going to have for me, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm getting excited and all of that. But, you know, finally, I start to see some things in this woman that I'm like, whoa, this is real serious red flags here. And God's showing it to me. And I'm out walking on the trail and I come across this snake across the trail. And I know that that's always like a warning to me. Michael commentary. Someone wrote a comment below one of my videos not too long ago that said exactly like Hollywood or no different than Hollywood. And I'm getting ready to tell you this. Hollywood cannot write stories like my life. If those of you who have followed it, you cannot even write this kind of stuff. It is incredible. Listen to what's going to happen here. This is amazing. So I'm going to go ahead and cheat and put you a week in the future just for a few minutes so that you can hear how incredible this is. So you hear me just mention about this lady in California and you hear me mention a snake. Well, I've got a whole recording from 2 years ago where God shows me this woman is this snake, that God literally put this snake across my path to show me, to warn me away from this lady. Thank God Almighty. In the end, a tree was recognized by its fruit. When I cut my friendship off with this lady who voluntarily said, oh, I don't want to do anything to get in the way of you and Persis being able to reconcile. I really love Persis. And if I really love Persis, I want to do everything I can to not get in the way. So I gladly took her up on this offer and said, you know, we need to stop our friendship and stop communicating until and unless, you know, P actually leaves the home. She was living in another room. We had divorce papers that were already filed. And keep in mind, this is a wife, quote unquote wife, not that she's a wife in God's eyes, but that legally she was a wife who was telling me I need to find somebody else. And she had actually even offered to speak to this lady and asked me if I liked her. And I told her at one point, I'm not really sure I think so, but I don't really know. And I'm having such a hard time with the fact that you, my quote wife, are even asking me this question. So this was something that P knew about. So now I end this with this lady to stop talking with her. And she turns on me and sends me an email that I've kept in case I ever needed it, that is laced with the poison of vipers that you cannot believe. This lady was so absolutely wicked in her heart. She's not even in control of the snake that was in her heart. And she just spewed forth exactly as Jesus would say, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything is good? The poison of vipers was on her lips and she F-bombed me and F-bombed me and F-bombed me and F-bombed me. Now, this is, again, a woman who tells me, listen, if I really love Persis, then I need to cut this friendship off with you. So if you want to stop this friendship at all so that I'm not in any way in the way. And I took her up on it and I said, yeah, we need to do this because I started seeing this was serious compromise. And then she showed the true snake in her and she exploded. Now, listen to this. So you've just heard me mention the snake. So now the rest of this recording you're getting ready to hear. After the snake video, I'll play this recording about this lady. You're going to hear me mention a lady from England. So I introduced these two women. So this other woman who at one time I trusted contacts me. You can tell that, you know, she's maintained a relationship with this lady that God has shown me as a snake. And so now Satan is using this woman to try to come and create doubt. Now it gets even crazier than this. Here's the more bizarre than Hollywood part. Okay. 7 days, brothers and sisters, from this day that I'm making this recording that you're hearing right now that I'm talking about the snake, this lady is on May 2nd, 2021. Now listen to what happens 7 days later from now. This is actually a video, but I'm going to, since this is just an audio, I'm going to simply include the audio of this. Have a listen to this 7 days after this. And then you're not going to believe what happens after that. Oh my God in heaven. Oh my God in heaven. The Lord just spared me again. I cannot believe this. I'm sitting here walking down the trail. And I am going through scriptures looking for God's promises. And I almost stepped on this rattlesnake. I cannot believe this. This is unbelievable. He is laying right in the middle of the trail. Look at this. Right in the middle of the trail, getting ready to strike. Unbelievable. I cannot believe this. If I would not have seen this guy. Oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. I am absolutely freaked out when I literally, this is the grace of God. How do I get to Zoom? Michael commentary. Okay, that very morning before I have this encounter with this rattlesnake, first of all, the rattlesnake was laying across the trail with his mouth just sitting right there, literally in the middle of the trail. He was not curled up in strike position. He curls up right in front of me, and that's when you begin to hear him, you know, put his tail off and warn me to stay back. But he was just laying with his mouth right in the middle of the trail, sunning. I was literally one step away from stepping on the snake. All right, now, what's so remarkable, two unbelievable things about this. This is a warning from God. Number one, that morning, I received a fearful text from Lisa. And the text was regarding how Isaac had been taken away from Abraham. And she had woken up fearful, or had gone to sleep fearful, I believe, the night before. And the night before, she had gone to sleep kind of fearful, having some fearful thoughts. And she specifically said, you know, I'm worried. Do you think, you don't think that God would ever take you away from me, would he? So this is the text that I wake up to from Lisa in that morning. Now, hours later, I'm here confronting a rattlesnake. Now, I'm 2 miles into the woods. If that snake would have bitten me, aside of a miracle from God, I don't think I would have made it out. It's too far of a journey to get with a rattlesnake bite. 2 miles in the trail is a long way out for rattlesnake venom to be able to attack your nervous system and do the real damage. So now listen to this. This snake is sandwiched between Lisa asking that day, you don't think God would ever take you away from me, this fearful thought she has, number one. Number two, this evening, the evening after this snake happens, I get a text message from Jared and Kristen Tabai. Brother, we received this very bizarre 1 hour recording from a lady named so-and-so, who says she's very concerned about you, and she's speaking regarding me moving forward in this relationship with Lisa. Guess who it is? It is the snake lady from 2 years earlier. I looked in my journal, and it was on July 17th of 2019, 7/17, the day that that snake comes across my path as a warning about this woman. Now here it is, May 9th. I have this encounter with this rattlesnake. Exactly 7 days after I get this recording from her counterpart. And you'll hear that recording just now, just after this place, okay? So here it is, 7 days apart. Snake mentioned in first recording. Literal encounter with a deadly rattlesnake. And that evening, Jared and Kristen Tabai text me, Mike, we just got this recording from somebody. It's an hour long. We've never heard of this lady before. Her name is so-and-so, and she's really concerned about you. And I said, brother, this is from Satan. Throw it in the garbage and do not speak to this lady at all. And I gave them a heads up, warning them against her. Brothers and sisters, when I tell you Satan tries to eat our lunch, I mean he tries to eat our lunch. You haven't heard anything yet. This is the kind of stuff, if you're ever going to be in full-time ministry for the Lord. Now watch this. I got 12 years of this, brothers and sisters. You've heard these crazy stories. Women trying to seduce me right in front of their husbands, getting me to want to go to the bathroom with them in Starbucks, and God warns me in advance of this happening. Demon-possessed Indian kid at a conference pointing me out when I'm walking past in the hallway in Lakeland, Florida. Being held down in my bed with the covers being pulled off of me, feeling like a devil jumps on the middle of my side in the middle of the night and I have to tense my stomach muscles to keep him from coming inside of me, being sitting in the hot tub late at night, 10 o'clock at night, no wind, clang, 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 the gate starts shaking while I'm praying, and every time I try to pray, it happens, seeing a demon go through the walls in the Indian bathroom that I'm living in the apartment, tormented with demonic nightmare. This is the kind of stuff, and you can just go on and on and on. Go look at some of the comments. I've kept a lot of them over the years. I've been called everything from Satan himself to, you know, the king of devils to, you know, heretic, scripture twisting, adulterer, serial adulterer, murderer, you name it. This is the kind of thing you have to put up with if you're ever going to want to minister. So many of you want to minister for the Lord so quickly. And this is why all the saints that have gone before us, they warn you. Are you sure you want to get into this? Are you willing to count the cost, Luke 14, before you get into this? Because brothers and sisters, this is the story of my life. Now you see all these amazing blessings. If it wasn't for them, I'd be dead. Or I would have given up on Jesus Christ. But this is the kind of stuff, Satan is real. I mean, and he comes and God is real. You see, no matter when the enemy comes in like a flood, like in the instance of this snake, or really the real snake is not the snake on the trail. The real snake is the one that's going to contact Jared and Kristen Tabei that afternoon. That's the real snake that Satan's trying to come through. This snake on the trail is a warning. You understand? This is a sign. Two times God has used a snake on the trail to warn me from this woman. How incredible. So you see that Satan is real, and he, you know, you hear the dreams. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's unbelievable. It's a never-ending assault. The Christian life, the true Christian life, particularly when you get into ministry, particularly when you start preaching the true cross-carrying, life-hating, self-denying, world-hating Christian life, you are going to see Satan come attack that. Wherever the seed of Christ is and will bless, there will be Satan to come and attack. And you can see from these kind of things, brothers and sisters, this is so edifying of how God has put together. Have you noticed how there are people who stay subscribed to my channel, by the way, to do nothing more than to hit the dislike button? Bless their hearts. They probably just cannot stand that I have shut their mouths. Agents of Satan, and they don't even realize it. That's what the Bible calls them. 1 John 3, 6-10, John 8:44. They're children of Satan. Jesus said, he who's not with me is against me. He who does not gather scatters. And you see, this is what you have to go through. And Satan does anything and everything he can. And you, but watch this though. Here's the blessing. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I want you to see the good news in this, that no matter what, just like in the last episode, fighting the good fight of faith, nothing Satan has ever been able to bring against me has stopped me. Nothing. And it's not that he can't stop me. He can stop me easy peasy. He cannot stop Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the Prince of Peace, the Great I Am. He cannot stop him who is in me, because he who is in me is greater than he who's in the world. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and I shall refute every false tongue that accuses me. This is the heritage of the saints and servants of the Lord. And so you continue to go. It's not without cost. You see how Lisa, and I haven't even begun to tell you her story about how she's been attacked in so many different ways. You just heard this, just that one example in the last episode. There's been many more, brothers and sisters. He's attacked her physically in her body. He's attacked her in her mind. He's attacked her in her dreams. He attacks in any open door he can. 1 Peter 5, be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The only safe place is to dwell in the shelter of the Most High God through humility, faith, and patience. That's it. There is no other safety place. And this is why I've been kept. And this is why this story is so important. You can see Satan is signing it. Let it be seen, brothers and sisters, that you need to keep listening to this story because God is in it. And Satan himself is pointing with his magic wand and saying, God is in this story and I hate him. Jesus is the king in this story. He's the author of this story. He has his favor on this story. He is the sovereign hand over this story. And I hate Jesus. Therefore, I hate this story and I hate Michael and I hate Lisa. You should see the emails I'm getting every day. Emails from those of you who are taking the time, which I love reading, to say, Michael, this story, brothers and sisters, do you know yesterday I got an email from a man who's listening to this, quote, love story, The Grace to Love Again, and he point blank sent me an email and he says, I have been listening to The Grace to Love Again and I have discovered that I am not a true Christian. I am not a true born-again Christian. He says, I'm not a Pharisee, but I'm stuck in religion. He's, in other words, admitting that he is missing out on the real Christian life. He has understood through a love story that Jesus Christ is in. Brothers and sisters, Satan hates that. He doesn't want that man. That's a before and after moment in that man's life. He doesn't want that man to know that he's not a true Christian. He wants that man to be a part of the group who Jesus says in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, flee from me. I never knew you, in spite of the fact that you did all these things and said all these things and went to church and did all the churchy stuff in my name. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does, only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, cast out devils, and perform miracles in your name? Those sound like some pretty amazing things. And he says, flee from me, I never knew you. Satan does not want anybody to have the light turned on. The emails I'm getting from people is that, Michael, I see Jesus Christ in this story more than I have before. I'm seeing the body of Christ in this story more than I have before. I'm seeing God be exalted and glorified. Brothers and sisters, that's why you hear about me almost stepping my foot on a rattlesnake. You think that's a coincidence? You think it's a coincidence that it happens exactly 7 days after I get this email from this person's partner in spiritual crime in England, trying to create doubt, trying to say, I would not be my father's daughter if I did not warn you that you're making a mistake. Brothers and sisters, if you're ever going to walk into anything that God has for you, you're going to have to fight some very convincing devils. You're going to have to fight against devils that are masquerading as angels of light. And if not, even if it's not a devil in themselves, it could be a Peter who's taken over by a devil. Lord, this will never happen to you. What does Jesus say to Peter, the rock? Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the things of God in mind, but the things of man. So I'm not saying that this sister in London is a devil. I don't believe she is, but she's clearly, after the 2 years that I lost touch with her, she started to play for and become captive to the other team. She's being used as a pawn in the hand of Satan. And she even admitted to me in the recording some seriously rotten fruit that she saw on her own tree that made her very vulnerable and susceptible to Satan. And she didn't even realize she's being used of Satan. How horrible. I really honored this sister in England and I really trusted her. Now I wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole. She's made herself available to Satan, and she's an older sister. And I tell you, it's so terribly sad to see this kind of thing. Brothers and sisters, all these people who've come and thrown all these sticks and stones and told me that God told them he was going to stop my heart and kill me and take me off the internet and all these horrible things that have been said to me over the years, none of which have come true. It's all been a lying, lip-moving mouth of Satan trying to stop, trying to detract, distract, trying to intimidate. Brothers and sisters, has any of it worked? No, but I tell you the truth, it is a battle. You have to be willing to battle. You have to be willing to fight. I mean, these are the kind of things. I mean, people think, oh, this Christianity's for weak business, like me, like when I was a teenager. True Christianity, yes, it is for the weak, but you will not get through it being weak. If you do not find God's grace, you will not make it. And brothers and sisters, the works of Satan are not going away. They're only going to be ramping up all over the world. I'm telling you, I've been prophesying to you guys for years. Things are going to get dark. Let me ask you a question. When you watch the news, does it look brighter than it was? No. It's just going to get, you haven't seen anything yet. Satan is leading the entire world astray. I mean, my goodness gracious, you guys, I don't know where you're listening to this from, but in America, all you hear about on the news anymore, granted, I don't watch it, but you can see the clips everywhere. It's aliens this, UFOs this, aliens this, UFOs this, all over. We can no longer deny it. They're here. Well, let's make contact, blah, 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 blah. It's just the craziest stuff. Every other couple of weeks, there's some new amazing scientific discovery. They've discovered the new sixth of this and the tenth of this, and there's this new this. And oh boy, now we've learned that Einstein's wrong. They recently learned now that Einstein's wrong about his theory of relativity. They just made some discovery, and the physicists are all so humbled, and they're going, oh my gosh, we've just realized that we've been believing a lie. And this physicist says, my gosh, my entire life's work has come to nothing. Because now they've discovered something new in the universe and blah, 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 blah. All this crazy stuff. Satan has this giant global agenda going on. And then for those of us who are trying to walk with the Lord and trying to pass this seed on to other people and trying to get people to see the light, look what he does. He comes and sends all these people. I cannot wait until we get to heaven, brothers and sisters. There are no tares in heaven. There's nobody that's deceived in heaven. Jesus does not look at anybody in heaven and say, get behind me, Satan. There's no religious Pharisees. There's no Ishmaels. There's no goats. There's no children of the devil in heaven. And you have to understand that after all the years of me dealing with these people, man, I am telling you, heaven has gotten sweeter and sweeter. It's like what my wife said in the last episode. She says, oh, honey, after all we've suffered. And she doesn't just mean in our relationship. She means after the years, you know, she has 11 years of waiting and suffering invested in this. And as do I, as you know. And so it's been a lot of suffering. And the longer we've battled, the longer we wait, the harder it is, the sweeter it will be. And it's the same thing for me. I have no doubt that heaven is going to be so incredibly sweet for me. I'm instantly going to be free from every religious idiot in the world. And I do mean idiots. You know, Jesus would look at them and say, are you still so dull of understanding? Do you still not get it? He says, how long shall I put up with you? So if Jesus can talk like that, I don't want to be more holy than Jesus. An idiot is a person who cannot learn. And there are people who are just blinded and they cannot and will not learn. And I don't mean idiots mentally. I'm talking about people spiritually who think they are so smart and think they're so this, that, and the other. And I'm telling you, man, I cannot wait to be free of all this. It's a blessing, and aren't you going to be blessed? Because when you really press into following Jesus, you are going to lose friends. The sword of Matthew 10:34. I mean, do you see the sword in your life? If you don't see the sword of Jesus Christ in your Christianity, you have to ask yourself, is that the Christianity of Jesus Christ? Am I some anomaly? No, brothers and sisters, I'm not. I have thousands of emails in my inbox to prove that the stories I tell are happening all over the world in people's lives who quit settling for lukewarm Christianity and really begin to humble themselves before their Creator when nobody's looking and they say, God, I'm all in. I want to go for a full abandonment of my will. I want you to do with me as you see fit. You bought me with your bloodshed on the cross at a price, and I am yours to do with as you see fit. Lord, I want you to have your way with me, and I want to go all in with you. I'm willing to go, as Austin Sparks would say, utter for God. And when you go utter for God, and there's very few of you who will do it, but when you go utter for God, you are going to know God like no other people do, and you are going to know Satan like no other people do. I know him. I know his ways. But you get to know your enemy when you have one, and he's fierce, and he never lets go. So anyhow, I just wanted to add this in here, that you can see these kind of things are remarkable. How dare somebody say Christianity is a fairy tale? Why don't you try to jump in my backpack and just chase me around for a week? Honestly, there are some weeks that more stuff spiritually happens in my life than I think that happens in years in other people's life. Hence the reason why Lisa can now testify that she has experienced more satanic and spiritual warfare in 2 months than she had in the previous 10 years before coming into my life. That's intense. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is in this story. He's in this marriage. That's why Satan hates it so much. That's why he puts snakes across my trail, both literally and spiritually. Now I'm going to put you back into this recording. So this is the friend of the snake lady in California. This lady, and initially this lady agreed with me, and she knew there was something seriously wrong with this lady in California. She knew it, and she admitted it. And she said, Michael, there is something not right. But oh boy, what loneliness can do to you and how you can be convinced. And now she's part of the same team. She got sucked into the darkness. So she's going to be used this day. Right now, here comes the recording. End of commentary. And so I'm starting to pay attention. Well, I introduced her to a lady in England. I thought they would be kind of neat sisters, both single and all that. And this is an older lady who I presume she's probably in her 50s. And she's always been very kind and respectful and quiet to me, and has shared a few things with me that allowed me to really believe I could trust her heart. And so I shared with her, and then unfortunately she kind of got in the middle on this. And this little tiny relationship that was potentially starting up with me and this other sister in California, with Persis knowing about it, because Persis had already filed for divorce, and she's like, I'm out of here, you need a Christian wife, and let's just end this, and you be happy, and you're not getting anything out of the marriage. So naturally, you know, this pops up, and I'm like, oh, well, maybe this is what God has for me. Well, I end up deciding I want to keep going with Persis, because I'm like, you know what, I gotta take this thing to the end. And so I tell this other lady this, that, you know, I really need to stick this out, whatever. And man, she just turns on me, and she turns vicious, and she starts cussing me. And I think to myself, oh my God in heaven, how thankful I am that I saw this side of this person before I would ever consider doing something with her. So, you know, we never met and all that kind of stuff, nothing like that. It was just purely a couple of conversations over the phone and texting, and that was it, recordings and all that. So unfortunately, this lady, this other sister, got involved. And she started to be kind of like a moderator. And I had to say, look, this lady's being really, she cursed me and all that. And so now I've introduced them too, and they're kind of being friendly. So it just kind of got weird. It all of a sudden got really weird, and I got out of it, and I went to Persis and I told her. And the day that I cut that relationship off with that lady, or shall I say that potential relationship with that lady, Persis came and apologized to me. And she really apologized to me. And so I said, okay, well, here's the Lord rewarding me for sticking this out. Well, clearly the Lord didn't want me to be free yet. Well, somewhere along the line, this other sister in England, she becomes a bit aloof. And, she, you know, we did a very, just every once in a while recording. It wasn't like this big relationship. I had mentioned to her, I said, you know, I really trust you because we've gone through this little difficult thing. And, you know, you know my story well. And she would explain she knew my heart. And she was a single woman. She's older than me. She's not interested in being in any relationship. She had been in a relationship with a pastor and it didn't work out. They were going to get married and so forth and so on. So it was just like, she's just like my older sister, totally. And so literally trusted, no problem, no worries at all. And I had mentioned to her, I said, yeah, you're kind of on my inside circle now, knowing about these kind of things. And I shared with her, you know, my heart, that I'm not looking for a friend. I'm looking for a wife, not her, just meaning that I didn't want to just be friends with somebody. I'm not looking for a friend. I want a wife who will be with me and be by my side and love and respect me. And, you know, here I have gone on to all this trouble with my wife Persis, and she's gone and she's leaving me and et cetera, et cetera. So, something happened, and I do not remember what happened, but this lady went silent for a while. And I reached out to her, and she never replied back. And I would just think about her as a friend. I mean, she had sent me some really nice writing from a Puritan that I really enjoyed. And so I just trusted her and all that. And I mean, you know, she had seen me go through this mess with Linda, and I felt she was very respectful and very honest. And she really agreed with me that what Linda was going through was bad. But unfortunately, this sister in London has definitely had a dark side that she's gone through. She's gone through, like, even she admits in this recording that I'm getting ready to mention, that she went through a terrible time of depression and all of this kind of stuff. Well, she starts telling me about how she wants to really sincerely apologize that she cut me off, because I would be worried about her. I'm like, is she okay? Did she kill herself? I mean, and she would never reply to any of my messages. So I'm just like, well, I guess I'm just not supposed to follow up with her. And every once in a while, I felt like I would be reminded of her, and I'd say, are you doing okay? Can I do anything for you? And nothing. So she just completely disappeared on me. And I always wondered, I'm like, what is that about? You know, how did that happen? Was that, what is that? I just moved on. I mean, there's literally thousands of people that have contacted me. So I said, all right, well, I guess. Well, now here she comes with this apology. And it's very soft and very quiet. And I've been in this terrible dark place. I was in suicidal. I don't ever want to go back to that place again. And it was really horrible. And I'm very sorry I did that. And then she begins to say, I didn't take responsibility for it. I wasn't a very much Christian like that. And then she made it suggest that I went like 3 months without saying something to her. And that she knows that I'm not, I would have never been her friend if it wouldn't have been for this lady. That I'm not, you know, I'm not looking for friends. And I know you're not looking for a friend. You're looking for a wife. And she's just saying all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh man, where is this going already? And in the last 2 minutes It becomes about how I wish I could tell you I was thankful for you having this lady, but I can't. And I just, you know, this is the part of the recording where you're going to tune out. And I just want to remind you about Laura for 40 months. And then suddenly out of nowhere, this woman pops up, Persis, and now God wants me to marry her. And at this point, I cut it off. And I knew this is, you know, bless her heart, somebody that's very vulnerable being used to try to create doubt. And the timing of it, these kind of strikes are always extraordinary. It's designed to create doubt. And I've told Lisa when we first got going, there's going to be these things. So this is another thing that's doubt. And I reconcile Laura very easily. I reconcile Persis very easily. What an incredible testimony. I've been spiritually widowed twice. Not because we couldn't get along. Not because Persis had some secret addiction to pornography, drug addict, spending money. No, because she fell away from her faith in Jesus Christ. And God has turned it into a symbol. And God broke my heart and taught me how to love when I don't get anything in return. He taught me resurrection life and in a way that I could have never known. And so all of the story reconciles fine for me. It doesn't for other people. And Lisa didn't suddenly show up. She doesn't realize this. Lisa's been around for 5 years. Persis suddenly showed up. Lisa didn't. Lisa's been around for 5 years. I made the first recording for Lisa all the way back in 2016. So this isn't one of those like suddenlies. God broke suddenly upon us to change the nature of the relationship, but she did not suddenly. But here comes Satan through a woman who admits she's been in a terrible dark place. And what I discern is this is a woman who's jealous. That's what I discern. I discern this is a woman who is jealous and who said some things to me that would seem to indicate that. And so I'm not even going to give the dignity of a reply. It's really sad because I really did trust this person. I really did trust her. And now I don't. She just shows up out of nowhere and gives this opinion. No, I don't think so. This is Satan trying to stop something that God is doing. And I see this as wonderful. Another thing I want to capture in this recording is as soon as I pulled into the driveway, as soon as I pulled in, first of all, God shows me a 912. He's going to give me double as a reminder of even the little difficulties that I'm going through this morning in my heart. God's telling me, trust him. I pull into the gas station making a recording for Jared, and it is 7-Eleven. Then I pull out 777. So 7-Eleven is the new Lisa number. And I see this associated with her everywhere. It's like God constantly saying to me, and here it would be that God would be showing this to me, reminding me that if I have given you something good, should you have any concerns about it whatsoever? And the answer is no. Which means that I can say this prophetically in advance. This will be my proof that I've heard so wonderfully from the Lord, and this is walking to the Lord. I gave my wife a message this morning that if she was not right with God, it could scare the wits out of her, and it could cause her to have doubts about me and the doubts about her being, you know, with me as my wife. And but on the contrary, even though it's a scary thing to have to listen to, perhaps for her, I believe the Lord's going to give her grace and that this is going to turn out to be a blessing for her and I both. So I've taken a risk this morning by sharing a message with my future wife that could very easily cause her to want to pull away from me. But instead, I believe because I've had faith and because I've done this of the Lord, that it will be turned, and God will turn this by Romans 8:28 for her good and for my good. And we'll come through this even more committed and more strong together. And hence the reason why, in between the time I send that message to my wife and the time that I'm going to hear from her, which may be some time, what happens? I get this blow that comes in just right now from a woman who is so nice and so kind, and that syrupy sweet London accent of hers, and who I trusted, you know, 2 years ago, and I don't know anything about her much, really, at all. I know very little about her. I can barely remember the details of what happened with that other woman, much less her. And so now here she shows up, and I just see this subtle arrow. Praise be to God. This is a good sign. And right now, 9:55, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown. This is what I tried to explain to Lisa, that if this is of God, we are going to have to see some antagonism from Satan, or it's not of God. If everything just goes smoothly and every friend just lays down over this, it's most likely not of God. It's when you see some outside influence. I mean, look at the timing of this. It's incredible. 2 years I haven't heard from this lady. When does her call come in? Right after I make the most difficult message I've ever had to make for my wife. That is absolutely incredible. Exactly what I just said the other day, where something I did with Lisa, and then that day I get these three horrible emails, including somebody saying I buried Persis underneath of the tiny house. Publicly saying Persis is buried under the tiny house and his ex-wife is still alive, but yet he's moving on into a third marriage. Satan just attacking with some of the most vile, and in this instance, some of the most clever things. And this lady doesn't realize it. She's all talking about, I wouldn't be my father's daughter if I didn't say this burden for you. This is how it always comes. I'll have this burden for you. I'm sure you do, but I promise you the burden's not coming from your father in heaven. And if it is, it's only allowed from him, just like the older prophet was allowed to be burdened with the younger prophet in 1 Kings 13. Oh no, you're supposed to come to my house today. I'm a prophet too. I don't care what the Lord told you earlier. You're supposed to come to me. How incredibly clever of Satan. It's amazing. But I thank God, I praise him for it, because this is a sign. Again, I now know how my wife is going to respond to this message I sent her today. And God just gave me all these revelations and insight on the mountain today. And here comes Satan with his clever attacks. I'm not buying it.